We welcome you to Highway Christian Fellowship for our annual family Christmas Eve celebration. If this is your first time with us, we want to give you a very special welcome. If you haven't already discovered, the bathrooms are on this side as well as downstairs if you need to use them at all during the service. Tonight is a night of song, of sharing, of scripture, of stories. I heard it said today from a pastor going into his service, I have nothing new to share, but I've got great news to tell you. And I couldn't believe a greater way to introduce a wonderful Christmas Eve story. We have the greatest story to tell in all the world, greater than White Christmas, greater than A Christmas Story. We have this coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the last several weeks in our Advent celebrations, we have been remembering the candle of hope, the candle of peace, the candle of joy, the candle of love. Come over here. See, I should get Sue over here doing it. She's the expert now. And tonight, of course, we light the Christ candle as we remember the coming of our Savior to this world. We're going to open in a word of prayer, and then I'm going to call upon the ushers to come. We are going to receive an offering for those who are part of the Highway Christian Fellowship family. You will know we are not holding a service tomorrow, so tonight will be the last opportunity we have as a church family to give to the ministry of our church and to the work of the Lord. And so if you are here, if you would like to participate in that offering, you're more than welcome to do so. But let's just open in prayer, and then the ushers are going to come. They're going to receive our offering, and then we are going to begin our night of joy celebration together. Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Father, tonight we celebrate and remember, Lord, the greatest gift that this world has ever been given. And Lord, as we think of that, Lord, it is a humbling thing to us that we can give just a portion back to you. And Father, be glorified in each gift we pray and in this night as we celebrate together. Amen. Thank you.
reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 2 to 12. I greet you with grace and peace, poured out into our lives by God our Father and our Master, Jesus Christ. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundation, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we are a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on all plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on the planet. It is Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eyes on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone.
Feel free to rise if you'd like to during worship.
Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Dispense the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadow put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Rejoice, and again I say rejoice, for God has come again. Let us welcome the Savior in our hearts and here in our community. As ever, this world and all who live on it need the promise that this baby carries within, the Spirit of God, the seed of hope.
Oh, come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, cause us in her ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel.
again, I say rejoice. Let all praise the God whose spirit gives life to this earth. Let animals and angels, young and old, join together to praise the God who comes to us, who knows us, who loves us as he teaches us to love one another.
Christmas story. About that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. This was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel to his own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from Galilee, from Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judea, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go there. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the hostel. There were shepherds camping in the neighborhood. They had set their watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angels stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody, worldwide. A Savior has been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is what you're to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger." At once the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praise. "Glory to God in the heavenly heights, peace to all men and women on earth who please him." As the angel choir withdrew into the heaven, the sheepherders talked it over. "Let us get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us." They left running and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing is believing. They told everyone they met what the angel had said about this child, and who heard the shepherds were impressed. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear, deep within her. The shepherds returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way they had been told.
I don't think you can sit down for this one.
Justice Deo.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Christ, in very nature God, the Almighty, became so small as to be born human.
The Savior of the world, born in an insignificant village, in the throes of chaos, in humble circumstances.
Overlooked in obscurity, ignored by the religious, acknowledged by shepherds, and gifted by dignitaries.
As an infant, Christ was offered three gifts: gold for a king, frankincense for priesthood, and myrrh, a burial balm.
In death, Christ became the gift to us all.
Come, peasant king, to
him. Raise, raise the song on high. The Virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born.
Would like to have a seat. I would love, though, to invite our children that are here with us this evening, and if they're kind of little and they want to sit with Mom and Dad, they can join us too, right up here at the front, please. The story is called The Light of Christmas. Why do we need lights that tangle? Can't we just have bells that jangle? Ornaments that sparkle spangle? Why are there lights of Christmas? It was long ago when there was no light. It was dark, dark, dark as the darkest night. Then the Lord said, "Light." And the world turned bright. Now we needed that light from heaven. We got light to separate night from day, and a sun shining down to warm our way, then a moon at night with its silvery ray. We lived in the light from heaven. But the earth grew cold with the people's sin, such a sad dark state that our world was in. As the evil spread, then the light grew thin. We needed a light from heaven. So the Lord set loose with his holy plan. I will send my son for the sins of man. No one else can help, but I know he can. The world needs the light of Jesus. Then the Lord sent Gabriel in a blinding light to a girl named Mary on a quiet night. You will bear God's son. He will make things right. God is sending the light of Jesus. Joseph took young Mary to be his bride, off to Bethlehem as it was prophesied, on a moonlit path, on a long, hard ride, with a promise of a light from heaven. In a humble stable that was old and small, light and shadows danced on the stable wall, and the cows and the sheep got to watch it all as they waited for the light from heaven. All the world stood still. It was tired and worn. Then the light broke through on that Christmas morn when a cry rang out that the child was born. God has sent us the light of Jesus. In a nearby field in the countryside, shepherds looked to heaven all starry-eyed when a light burst forth and the angels cried, announcing the light of Jesus. In a far-off land, there were three wise kings. Let us follow the light that that bright star brings. So they rode on camels with gifts and things, seeking the light from heaven. Ah, yeah, they did. They were looking for it. As the years went by, Jesus grew and grew. He obeyed the Lord and his parents, too, spreading love and light, making all things new. Jesus, the light from heaven. Jesus fed the crowds by the sun-splashed sea, caused the deaf to hear and the blind to see, and he showed the light of eternity. People walked in the light of Jesus. "I'm the light of the world," they heard his claim. "Come and follow me. This is why I came." But they loved the dark, and they cursed his name.
and they hated the light from heaven. He was crucified on a cold, dark hill, and he died for us by his Father's will. There was no more light. All was lost and still. We needed the light of Jesus. Then he rose again, filled with power and might, and the world rejoiced at the wondrous sight. All the earth was filled with his glorious light, the light of the risen Savior. So, go ahead and trim that tree. Light the lights for all to see. Christ's light shines for you and me. We still need the light of Jesus. Thank you.
Sigrid for putting this service and all the songs together and the speaking parts. They've just done a great job, and I trust you have been enjoying this night as we have been singing and celebrating Jesus coming to us. I just want to take a couple minutes this morning, this evening, and talk to you about a gift too wonderful for words. Billy and Johnny were spending a few days at their grandma's house on the farm. It was a few days before Christmas, and grandma still had some presents to buy. So that night, Billy and Johnny slept in the bedroom right next to grandma. Billy and Johnny knelt down by their bed to say their goodnight prayers. Little Billy could be heard throughout the house. "Dear God, I only want one thing. I want a brand new red CCM two-wheeler bike for Christmas." A few moments went by, and little Billy piped up again, "And God, if you could remember, I would really love a brand new Nintendo." And this went on for several minutes, and finally Johnny just nudged him and said, "What you doing? God ain't deaf." Little Billy said, "No, he's not, but Grandma is." Before Costco, Walmart, Sears, Best Buy, or Amazon, the tradition of giving gifts goes as far back as when the wise men came to Bethlehem with their gifts to Jesus. There are many different types of gifts that we receive and give at Christmas time, aren't there? They come in various sizes and colors and shapes. Some are wrapped in boxes with shiny paper and tied in bright red ribbon. Others are couched in envelopes as gift cards. Some gifts we open, we expect. There are other gifts, however, when we open them, we scratch our heads thinking, "You've got to be kidding me." Come on, we've all done it. We've all thought it. But then there's that one gift. That one special gift that when we open it, it brings a smile to our face and joy and warmth to our hearts that cannot be described. It's a timely gift, a perfect gift, a precious gift, given out of the heart of love and generosity. It's a gift that words cannot describe. And like the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thanks be to God for his unspeakable, indescribable, inexpressible gift." And of course, he's speaking of the Lord Jesus himself. God's gift to us, he says, is too wonderful for words. Let me share quickly three things about this wonderful, indescribable gift. It's a priceless gift. The value of God's gift cannot be described by dollars or cents. What words would you choose to describe a baby born of a virgin? Isaiah said he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. How on earth do you explain that? Well, listen to these words by Max Lucado as he discusses the incarnation. "That particular moment was like none other. For through that segment of time, a spectacular thing occurred. God became man. And while the creatures of earth walked unaware, divinity arrived. Heaven opened herself up and placed her most precious one in a human womb. The omnipotent, in one instant, made himself breakable. He who had been a spirit now was pierceable. He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. And he who sustains the world with a word chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl. God as a fetus. Holiness sleeping in a womb. Creator of life being created. God was given eyebrows, two kidneys, and a spleen. He stretched against the walls and floated in the amniotic fluid of his mother. God had come near." How do you describe such a priceless gift as that? Isaiah tried to describe it as a child, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. John describes him as the Word become flesh, who is timeless, who spoke the worlds into existence. Oh, this gift has such tremendous value, but so many people miss it. They look into the manger. They don't see a king. They don't see the Savior of the world. They don't see the baby God, an everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All they see is a little tiny baby. But Jesus, John describes him as the Word became flesh. The Word Jesus became flesh. And as one translator puts it, he moved into our neighborhood. Yes, God's gift is priceless. Secondly, it's perfect. When God planned to send his son, it wasn't on a whim. God didn't look down from his throne in heaven onto creation and suddenly say, "It looks pretty bad down there. I think I might try doing something." No. God had it planned out from the very beginning of time. Before time began, in fact, he had the period of Jesus' birth planned. God had the place of his birth planned. He had his earthly parents planned out. It was all so perfect so that when the right time finally came, God sent his own son. He came as the son of a human mother and lived under the Jewish law to redeem those under the law so that we might become the children of God.
Amen.
God's gift was perfect. It was priceless. But finally, God's gift is personal. It's personal. It was personally given to us. For God so loved, he gave his one and only son. It wasn't something that he just came up with. No, he planned it. It was his gift to humanity. But not only was it personally given, it was to be personally received. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish. That word, whosoever, I've often heard it said. Some of you have heard me say it. You can put your name in place of that word. For God so loved, put your name there. That when Ralph, Sue, Einar, Jean, Lola, when we give our lives to Jesus, the Bible says that we become children of God because it's a personal gift. There's a story of a very wealthy man who with his devoted son shared a passion for art collecting. Together they traveled around the world, adding only the finest art treasures to their collection. Priceless works by Picasso, Van Gogh, Monet, and many others adorned the walls of the family estate. The widowed father looked on with satisfaction as his only child became an experienced art collector. But the day came when war engulfed the nation and the young man left to serve his country. After only a few short weeks, his father received a telegram that his beloved son had been killed by carrying a fellow soldier to a medic. That following Christmas morning, a knock came to the old man's door. And as he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier carrying a large package under his arm. He introduced himself to the father by saying, "I was a friend of your son. I was the one that he was rescuing when he died. May I come in for a few moments? I have something to show you. I'm a bit of an artist," said the soldier, "and I want to give you this." As the old man unwrapped the package, the paper gave way to reveal a portrait of his son. And though art critics would probably pass that picture aside as being worthless, to this father, it meant everything in the world. He hung it in a very prominent place so that whenever any visitors came, the first thing they would see would be a portrait of the son who gave his life so that another soldier could live. Time went on and the old man became ill and himself passed away. The art world was in anticipation. According to the will of the old man, all the artworks would be auctioned, and the day soon arrived, and art collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular works of art. The auction began with a painting that was not on the museum's list. It was the painting of the man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid. The room was silent. "Who will open the bidding with $100? He asked. Minutes passed with not a sound from those who came to buy. From the back of the room, someone callously called out, "Who cares about the painting? It's just a picture of his son. Forget about it. Let's get to the important paintings." There were other voices who whispered in agreement. But the auctioneer replied, "No, we have to sell this one first. Now who will take the son?" Finally, a voice from the back of the room spoke up. "I know the boy, so I'd like to have it. I will bid $100. And the voice from the back was none other than the soldier who himself had been saved by the boy, and whose picture now adorned that home. After a long, "I have a bid for $100, called the auctioneer. "Will anyone go higher?" After a long silence, the auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice, gone." And the gavel fell. Cheers filled the room, and someone was heard to say, "Now let's get on with it." But the auctioneer looked at the audience and announced that the auction was over. Stunned disbelief quieted the room. Someone spoke up and said, "What do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for a picture of some old guy's son. What about the other paintings? There's millions of dollars of works of art here." The auctioneer quieted the crowd, gathered his papers, and said, "Please, let me explain. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the Son gets it all." And folk, when you and I receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, you realize it's the same. We get it all. Just like the Bible promises to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become sons and daughters of God, children born not of natural descent or of human decision or the husband's will, but born of God. Some people imagine that God's love has to be earned, that we have to do something to deserve his forgiveness. But guess what? The price has already been paid. Jesus Christ has purchased our salvation with his own blood on the cross. It's not anything we do. It's not anything that anything else, but putting our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has completed for us. And now he extends his arm to you and I and says, "What will you do with God's unspeakable gift?" The worship team is going to lead us in another song. It's a new song to most of us. But this is what I'd like us to do. There will be an instrumental introduction, and then the first verse will be sung. And as the instruments are playing and that first verse is sung, I would like to invite all of us here this morning just to bow our heads and to quiet ourselves in God's presence. And if you are here today, maybe you've come tonight with a friend, with a family member. Yes, you know the story of Christmas. You know the story that Sue read. You know all of that stuff. But have you personally received God's gift of salvation through Jesus tonight? And if you're here today and you would say, "I want to make a fresh commitment of my life to Jesus." When we get to the chorus that says, "And he shall reign forever, forever, and forevermore, and unto us a child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords," if you would say from your heart, "Yes, I am going to make tonight Jesus Christ my Lord and King," then I invite you to stand as a testimony of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight.
a shepherd, I would do my part, but poor as I am, I will give to him my heart, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us the child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Here within a manger lies the one who made the starry skies, the baby born for sacrifice, Christ the Messiah. Into our hopes, into our fears, the Savior of the world appears, the promise of eternal years, Christ the Messiah, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore, and he shall.
Glory stream from heaven's above.
Follow along on the screen or in your bulletin. Oh Lord, we come in prayer asking, if I come here disbelieving, God,
unwrap my doubt, fill me with your love.
If I come here despairing,
unwrap my grief, and fill me with your joy.
If I come here angry,
unwrap my resentment, and fill me with your peace.
If I come here cynical,
unwrap my skepticism and fill me with your trust.
If I come here nostalgic,
unwrap my sentimentality and fill me with yourself. Open my heart to your truth.
Amen. Father, we thank you for this night that we have been able to share together. Father, the music and the messages and the stories, Lord, Father, our world is in such need of hope. And I pray, Lord, in this Christmas season that we would take the hope, the love, the joy, the peace, the Christ of Christmas into our families, into our wherever we go. And Lord, your light will truly shine through each of us. In Jesus' name. It's in his name that we sing joy to the world. Could we stand as we sing this final carol?
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plain repeat the sounding joy. The sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more of sins and sorrows grow, no mourns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
On behalf of my wife and my family, we want to wish you all a God-blessed Christmas and a great new year. God bless you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.